that. And number one in the world, and I'm seeing where it's abominable, where it's obsolete, and all kinds of things.
Well, I want to give some time to your singers here, because they look...
I don't think they're Mr. Fry singers.
These are number one in the world.
I talked to
the Two Sisters Trio, number one in the world, and if we had an invitation internationally, they could be in there singing. They could fill this Coliseum.
All right, Mr.
Thank you very much.
That is a great intro. Al, we're going to...
It's all yours.
And I'm asking a question so that you get more time of, will you sing for us?
We would love to sing with you. We are actually two sisters and a mister, and we do USO typically, and we get asked to do a lot of patriotic events. So today we're doing one from our patriotic segment.
For Gil.
For Gil.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Are you going to sing, Mr. Fry?
We call him the Two Sisters Quartet.
No, are you going to sing?
We paid him not to.
Okay.
Kidding.
I told her I was going to do that. I might before it's over, but she said, no. No. She didn't like that idea. Two Sisters Quartet.
Can we move these up?
Yeah.
Can we? Oh, we can. That's nice.
Yeah, get close to them.
If tomorrow all the things were gone I'd worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife, I'd thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the ones who died, who gave that right to me. And I'd gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Wayne.
From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, from New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say,
I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the ones who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the ones who died, who gave that right to me. And I'd gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
That was beautiful. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Mr. Fry. That was very beautiful.
Very nice.
We really appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
You have beautiful voices.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fry, for that treat.
Thank
we
you,
really
Your
appreciate
Honor,
it.
I recommend a USO show, and of course, the Milwaukee High School is capable of doing it.
So I actually had a question, Mr. Fry.
Pardon me?
I have a question, because I'm presuming that you gave us that beautiful rendition because of your care for the Memorial Coliseum. Do you have any concerns about the spectator funds being used for PGE Park instead of Memorial Coliseum?
Yes, I do. I feel like we should keep all of the money from the Rose Garden,
from the Rose Quarter,
should stay for the Colosseum, because the Colosseum is the mother. And you could call it the Gold Star Mother of all Colosseums, maybe, because it's the Gold Star Mothers. My mother was a Blue Star Mother. She had five Blue Stars there and one son-in-law, so that makes six. They're almost all gone by now. And I called one veteran today, and he said he's now, at age 84, a full-time caregiver for his wife. So the veterans that I've invited, the one left, and otherwise, we're all dying. All my brothers and sisters, except one veteran, have died. And I could go on and on, but thank you very much.
Thank
if there's any other questions, I'm
we'll,
glad to.
We'll take care of Memorial Coliseum. Thank you. Thank you again for your beautiful interlude. We really appreciate it. Carol, the next three.
See, are Henry Kane, Jeremy Wright, and Tracy Prince.
Mr. Kane, welcome back. We're glad you're here. You need to move those microphones back down.
Very good. I have two pieces of written testimony, one on 1031, the other on 1032 and 1033.
Okay. For the record, you're Henry Kane.
Oh, Henry Kane, K-A-N-E. My July 22 testimony quotes the Oregonian. Quote, Paulson and his company should shoulder most of the risk going forward. Some people may agree with the Oregonian editorial department. I'm disappointed that what has been presented keeps Peregrine as the party, the signatory, and contains no provision that Mr. Paulson, as an individual, will sign the agreement, nor does the document provide that Mr. Paulson will provide a corporate surety bond. And I remember the testimony months ago saying guarantees are not enforceable. My testimony may be made obsolete by the amendment I have not seen. I sure hope it removes some of my objections. I pointed out that 1031 is having a first reading and it needs a second reading for the reasons I've given. The record I've made is 22 separate items, and I will supplement that. And I've given various objections. Perhaps the final agreement will take care of enough of them that I can dump a pile of papers this high into the refuse. Thank you.
So just under 1.2 under parties, it says, quote, Peregrine Sports LLC, parens, and or shortstop LLC, close parens, comma, or other Paulson-owned entities. And under the definitive documents that come back will be an opportunity to see, again, this is term sheet, when they come back to see in great detail exactly what the nature of the guarantees are.
I think,
and we want to have as ironclad of guarantees as possible.
My understanding of Mr. Kane's point is that there's a place for Peregrine to sign. There isn't a place for Mr. Paulson to sign.
On the term sheet. This comes back
is
for definitive documents.
Am I understanding you correctly?
Well, I'm hoping the final agreement will nail down
this
every
is a
point.
Binding agreement.
I see.
And one
yeah.
I would like to see is the setting of a maximum contribution by the city. I keep remembering the OHSU tram, and so much would have been avoided if the city said, we're not going to pay more.
That is taken care of. Yes. I've checked for that, too. Thank you.
Yeah, this is a term sheet. The final agreement is, I know you'll continue to watch, as we will, to make sure that the final agreement has the appropriate guarantees and the appropriate language, therefore. This is a non-binding term sheet that is a definitely agreement of goodwill that we intend to fulfill. But thank you, Mr. Kane. Good afternoon. Thanks for waiting.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me. Jeremy Wright, for the record, represent MLS to PDX and a proud member of the Timbers Army. I just wanted to, you've heard a lot from me, and I just wanted to tell you a little story about why I'm wearing this Chicago Fire, which is MLS jersey today. There's about 50 Chicago Fire fans in town who have flown in the last couple days. And in 2002, I went out just to see my new nephew, and I happened to attend the Chicago Fire game, got to know some of the fans, and the friendship ensued. And we kind of went back and forth, just a few people going back and forth. And then when the schedule came out this year, we discovered Chicago was playing at Seattle on Saturday morning, or Saturday at noon. And so Chicago decided, the fans, we wanted to come and see a Timbers game. And so 50 individuals have flown in, are staying in hotels here in the Portland metro area, are attending the Oregon Beer Fest, attending the match tonight. And then we are all turning around and renting two buses and going up together as Chicago, the Timbers fans then become Chicago fans to cheer for Chicago on Saturday in Seattle. And I tell you this story because there will be approximately 250, there's a 250 ticket block bought at Quest Field by the Chicago Fire fans. And that gives you an idea of what's going to happen when MLS comes here. So these folks travel, they spend money, they invest, they will be paying those hotel taxes, they will be paying those car rental taxes. All this will go towards paying for our stadium. And it also is just a lot of fun to meet people from around the country. I know of no other sports, no other sport in the world or in the United States that has this kind of friendship where people fly 50, 100 folks to come out and hang out. We all flew over to England doing the same thing. So I just wanted to point that out, tell you a little story. If you see a bunch of folks wandering around in Chicago Fire jerseys, welcome them. There are guests in town.
Thank you,
Mr. Right, I just have one question if I could,
Mayor. Yeah, please.
You said that you are the host of MLS to PDX.
Yes.
But Chicago has two professional soccer teams. And yes. One of them has the star player for the UP Pilots as the number two pick in the draft of this past year. So if Mr. Polson gets his dream of an MLS franchise, would you work with the community to try to secure a women's professional soccer team as well?
Absolutely. I remember you and I have actually had a conversation a few times up at the UP women's games, and I absolutely love those games and would be more than happy to work with you and work with Mr. Polson, because I think if you're looking at some of the success of some of the clubs with WPS right now, it's a great start, and it would be great to see it.
You're going
to
negotiate that deal, Nick. Yeah, you are.
And I don't got a lot of money.
We're tired.
Deferring this one to Todd.
And I also just want to state for the record, you were talking about the money for Fields. As I reiterated our last testimony, we're in the process of setting up a separate 501c3 called Pitch Invasion, which is about fixing up fields around town. We'd love, which is a separate nonprofit, that would be focused on low-income or places that need the help. And so we'd love to work with your agency.
This council is totally committed to expanding opportunities for youth sports. And frankly, if this deal goes forward, we would look forward to targeting the resources, Mr. Paulson's resources and your resources, so we can make an impact, particularly in East Portland. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Wright. Hi.
Hi, Tracy Prince. I'm a resident of Goose Hollow and also on the board. I'm talking about two issues today. One is the parking structure that Commissioner Fritz mentioned earlier, and the other is preserving sight lines into PGE Park, which Patty Tilla and I had an op-ed in the Oregonian today about. Many Goose Hollow residents feel that the current parking situation is working just fine and does not need to be changed. Considering that PGE Park is served well by public transportation and that a smart park building 8 blocks away and on the max line is usually empty on game days, we don't feel that changes need to be made. The Good Neighbor Agreement requests a transportation study, which many board members feel will show that the status quo works well and does not need to be changed. And it's been working well for 10 years. It wasn't easy to come up with this good neighbor agreement, but with the help of City Hall, with the help of the neighborhood associations, NWDA and the Goose Hollow Foothills League, and with other city leaders, we came up with a deal. And, you know, I think it works well. Our neighborhood gets along really well with PG Park leadership. Since there's been talk of a parking structure at 18th and Salmon, we want to make clear that this corner is a vital part of revisioning our neighborhood with a Main Street feeling that it doesn't have now, that currently there is no there in Goose Hollow, and it must have active use and be a vital part of the neighborhood. This is similar to what we supported in the revised iteration of the Allegro. It would be a poor location for a parking structure unless the parking was buried, and I believe that's cost prohibitive. We don't object to parking structures completely, but we want to make sure that that corner of our world isn't swallowed up by this edifice. Number two, on preserving the sight lines. This is an architecturally unique and neighborhood-friendly part of PGE Park. It must be preserved. Where there was an enormous cinder block wall along 18th, the last remodel of the park opened up that side of the stadium to the neighborhood. That change has created an egalitarian and friendly relationship with the stadium, with glimpses of the field and the fans that make them feel part of the neighborhood. Now we're threatened with an excluding wall once again in a place where the visual connection between the street and stadium is critical to the vitality of Goose Hollow. Goose Hollow neighbors are worried every time the word bowl is used to describe how the stadium will be remodeled and worry about what that bowl will do to 18th. Fans sitting inside the stadium talk about how nice it is to see the action of the city, the skyline, and the Max rolling by as they watch games. Visitors to Portland comment on how refreshing it is to catch a moment of the game as they pass by. And it says much about the open-mindedness of our city, and it would be something small-minded about not preserving that. We feel very strongly that city commissioners should make preserving the open sight lines along 18th a requirement of the MLS deal.
Thank you. And I think your expectations about the mixed-use, street-level vitality that you did a very good job of negotiating towards on the Allegro project is absolutely appropriate expectations.
And we feel that PGE Park and Mayor Paulson and his leadership have worked. I think they're amenable to our wishes.
Great. Thank you very much for your, sure.
Is it my understanding that the current Good Neighbor Agreement includes a reference to the sight lines?
No, it does. Yes, it does.
Yes?
We sent revisions or suggestions in. Jerry Powell is our sort of planning director of our neighborhood, and that was sent in. Mm-hmm. Some documents that I think it should be, definitely that part was supposed to have been amended. I didn't realize it hadn't been.
I'm asking. I don't know whether it has or hasn't.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
I don't either.
I think we make comments in the general vein of, you know, we don't expect any substantial changes to the sight lines along 18th or something to that effect.
We're not approving anything with the Good Neighbor Agreement today, but it needs to come back with the other definitive documents, so we'll have an opportunity to make sure that these issues are discussed and resolved.
Okay. One question, Tracy. Mm-hmm. Is there a plan that you've seen, a scheme, a architect's rendering or something, that clearly presents this challenge?
You know what? We know that everything we've seen so far has been sort of architectural eyewash, but what we're concerned about is that what has been thrown out into the public discourse seems to be being codified into a real process, that people use the word bowl, and then they have a drawing that shows up on the Oregonian every other week, and suddenly they start imagining, you know, what, as you walk along 18th right now, it's open, it's a wonderful part of our neighborhood, it's something we all love.
And I
worry about the way that keeps becoming an expectation in our community that there will be a bowl there. There's plenty of room if you dig down at under street level and go down. You could put lots of stadium seating right there without obstructing the view from the street.
And we're making, we're passing no judgment on that particular issue, just so that you're clear as part of the terms. But we have to come back with a revised Good Neighbor Agreement that needs to deal with
it. So you think that should be part of the Good Neighbor Agreement?
It needs to be part of the definitive documents that need to come back to council.
Okay.
Yeah, including a definitive good neighbor agreement moving forward, because we're changing a primary use of this facility from baseball to soccer.
My question, though, was the Good Neighbor Agreement on, referenced on page 6 of 8 of what we're voting on today says Peregrine will enter into a continuation of the Good Neighbor Agreement currently applicable. So that's my question, is does it have something about the sight lines now or no?
I don't know. The suggestions that we sent via Jerry Powell's letter were incorporated in the current edition.
Okay, thank you.
But we have discussed this endlessly. Right.
Thank you very much.
We wanted to, that phrase is in there to make sure that we don't have any loss on the existing Good Neighbor. We don't have any sort of erosion of the Good Neighbor Agreement, but it is an opportunity to address your concerns moving forward.
Thanks.
Thank you all very much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
We have six more, is that right?
Six more, yes. Okay. The next three are Linda G. Cameron, John Murphy, and Ian Todd. Right.
It doesn't matter today because they're either in there or they're not. Right. Either way, we have to deal with it. Yeah, in my opinion. Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for waiting.
Good afternoon.
Do we have a third one?
Yes, I understand Mr. Murphy left. Ian Todd? Brian Parrott.
Mr. Parrott, come on up. Would you like to begin? Welcome.
Sure. Welcome. Thank you. My name is Linda Cameron. I am a resident of the Goose Hollow neighborhood. I'm an architect and also a board member. And I am here to talk to two items, one being the parking garage that I just found out about today. And I would like further study to occur. I have to agree with Tracy. It's not that we would not agree to a parking garage, but it has to be strategically placed that would benefit the neighborhood, not just PGE Park. The other item I'd like to discuss is the view lines into the stadium. At present, there's a wonderful transparency between the stadium and the pedestrian way. I've lived in the Goose Hollow neighborhood for over 16 years, and I recall what the stadium was like prior to the renovation that happened about a decade ago. And let me tell you, it's a vast improvement. There's, I believe, security issues by having that open. There's a perception of eyes on the street, which is very helpful because the stadium is not always in use. But the neighborhood and the residents of the neighborhood are interacting with the stadium on a daily basis. And so by having that open area where you can see into the stadium and vice versa, and there is some visual connection also from the Mac Club, it doesn't feel like it's a concrete canyon, which thus allows people to feel more secure, and there's more activity on the street, and I believe there's less crime. Thank you.
I'm going to offer an amendment to Section 11. Hopefully it'll be a friendly amendment, and that is to the city will use its best efforts to work with the Goose Hollow Neighborhood Association, and there's also a business association in Goose Hollow, along with Peregrine, the high school, and the athletic club to develop a parking facility. Again, we're not committing ourselves to this, but I think you deserve to be recognized in this section for consultation and involvement and discussion about it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks. Ian.
Good afternoon again. My name is Ian Todd. First of all, I want to thank the council and all the members for, as we've gone through this public process. And I want to recognize that as much as we might get into fights and be frustrated with each other, that public process is the hallmark of Portland politics and what we're recognized for doing. And as divisive and frustrating and quibbly as this has gotten, I'm ultimately proud of where we've gotten with this. This is a fine agreement, and as was mentioned by one of the body here, this is a unique agreement for primary sporting facilities in this country. As far as the amount of private contribution for ultimately what is a publicly owned facility, it is a very good deal as a for the taxpayers. It will create a even better facility that will bring people into the neighborhood. I want to follow up on what my friend Jeremy said earlier. Not only are there 50 Chicago Fire fans in town, but there are currently, last I checked on their bulletin board, between 150 and 200 fans of Burnley Football Club who are either on Interstate 5 or checking the hotels as we speak, who are also going to be paying taxes and going to our restaurants, shopping at our sales tax-free stores in the downtown area, and contributing to the hotel tax and those fees that are what the Spectator Fund draws upon. And this is a small visit compared to what I predict we will be seeing in 2 years when we have the opportunity to be drawing bigger soccer-centered events in the summers at the remodel facility. I think the biggest thing to think about here, again, is going to go back, and as the rest of the commissioners come back, that the amount of public, amount of private contribution on this, this is a very good deal. The $1 million liability, the $1 million cap on public liability and cost overrun is, and I checked again, and I mentioned it last time I was here 2 weeks ago, that is several times less than the next closest agreement between a government in the United States and a private entity building or remodeling a stadium. This is the best deal possible, and it will, when this passes and this council votes for it, you will look back at this and be very proud of it. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. Thanks for waiting.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm Brian Parrott, and I'm here as a citizen, but I'm proudly been an Oregonian since 1970. Some of you know me as a tennis player, which is true, and I've been tennis has been my racket, but I was born in Brooklyn to the son of Harold Parrott, who was the traveling secretary for the Brooklyn Dodgers, so grew up around baseball. I'd like to say three things. One is, I did get engaged in this because I've rented, actually, I counted up the Coliseum 59 different dates. The Davis Cup, actually the first one was Jimmy Connors and Eddie Dibbs, and then Connors and Nastassi, which led to, actually, this event was the Davis Cup in 81. And you may have heard this story. It's true, and I can give you the reasons why. This event brought in $100 million into our economy, because NEC discovered Oregon because of that event, and they built a plant here. They were down to two cities in America, and they added Portland, and I think Governor Atiyah gets a lot of, should get a lot of credit for reeling them in. But we have to thank a man named Harry Merlo for stepping up for the city here for the Davis Cup. He gave me the $175,000 to get it. I believe the Coliseum is a tremendous asset. It gives us a competitive advantage over other cities because of the flexibility of having two buildings. And it is quite a building. It gets a bad rap. I do have a suggestion for beautifying it a little bit on the outside. But it's an asset, and that's why we could get the Davis Cup. But there are other events. Secondly, I want to commend you all for your help with Merrick Paulson. If anybody ready to step up for $35 million franchise fee, it should be supported in every way. And that's why I've been thinking about it a great deal. I got my soccer master's degree by putting up $40,000 for the Portland Pride. I was the managing owner of that. I had the money from the Tournament of the Americas, which is another thing I brought in, you know, worked to bring in with the Trailblazers, but I was co-chairman with Marshall. And we split $1.1 million on that event, and I put $40,000 on the franchise and then ran the Portland Pride. So I know it's a great soccer town, and that's going to be an asset. Now, the final thing I really want to – I've been thinking about the baseball a great deal, and I've talked to a good number of people. Homer is the first one I called, Homer Williams. I said, what do you think about this site? He said, that'd be great for the Pearl. And then I said – well, I'm going to keep talking. He said, well, you got to get to Bob Stoll, find out what he thinks about it. And I did, because he was a member at Eastmoreland, which I was involved running Eastmoreland the first 6 years. Bob Stoll thinks it's a great site, and he was going to float the idea, because I had a second part of the idea, to the Kulongowski team. But I further talked. I know I'm over, but this is...
Go ahead and finish.
If you can let me do this. I further talked to Mr. Glickman for an hour. I said, what do you think about this site? And he said, it'd be a fantastic site. And you know, he's ready to say, he's saying that publicly as well. Harry Merlo feels the same way. Homer...
What site is that?
Well, I'm going to tell you. I'm keeping it...
Build up is killing.
I know, but it's important because it's a Field of Dreams location. Ralph Shaw. Ralph Shaw feels similar.
Give us a hint?
Oh, yeah. I'll give you a hint.
Here, Mr. Parrott. Especially,
I want to tell you, Leonard. Mike Burton is another one that believes that this site is, you know, the head of Metro for 8 years. Okay, the site is, and Ian Hamilton, I'll throw him in. Now, Ian is Phil Knight's right hand.
All right, tell us.
The site is the post office, the downtown post office, with the backdrop of the city right there. We know it's for sale. We know
it's,
and I know that there's, I mean, I know there's a lot of talk about how long it could take to clear that site, but it would be a fantastic site. Now, two more parts, and I promise I'll stop.
You got a few seconds.
There is a man in Oakland who has not been able to build a stadium, and his name is Lou Wolfe, and he owns the Oakland Athletics.
All right.
The Giants are blocking him every place, and I think we should invite him up here.
To build our AAA ballpark?
To move his major league team up here.
Okay.
He's already mentioned Portland.
And your second point was?
Well, the second point is actually there's a financing way that would not require taxpayer money. There's already $150 million for the stadium, $150 million on the table from the governor's signed bill, you know, for and the tribes are ready to come back to the table.
Mr. Parrott, I apologize. I'm going to have to cut you short, and we'll be available to talk to you afterwards. You've done amazing things for the city. You're an expert in this area, and I apologize. I have to move you along.
Don't worry. Don't worry.
It's the late hour.
Yeah, yeah. So. No, I appreciate it. But
thank you
very
much.
Yeah,
appreciate your testimony.
Okay.
All right.
The last ones are John T. Moran and Joe Rastatler.
Good afternoon. Thanks for waiting. Appreciate it, Mr. Rastatler. Mr. Moran, I think you were first.
Mayor, commissioners, good afternoon. My name is John T. Moran. I am a Unite Here member working for the Hilton Hotel for the last 3 years. I understand most of us want to get out to the Oregon Brewers Festival as well as the Timbers game, so I won't be that long. I'm here to say that I'm happy that we are bringing Major League Soccer to Portland, and that it's going to create needed jobs for my fellow Portlanders. But I want to stress to you that the investment the city is making should also bring a good return, and by that, we seek that these jobs created be good living wage jobs. I feel that this would be best accomplished by giving the workers the right to organize. So I plead with you to give the Portlanders what they deserve. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Rastatter.
Hi, and I'm Joe Rastatter. I'm a co-chair of the Jobs at Justice Faith Labor Committee, and I'm also a member of United Here Local 8 when I sell beer and peanuts up at the Seattle Seahawks games and the Seattle Mariner games. I probably work, I don't know, 10 or 15 games still at PG Park. And I would support, for example, Unite Here being involved in organizing the PG Park workers, as would SEIU would probably be interested in organizing the janitors or the field crew staff at PG Park. I strongly agree with you, Commissioner Leonard, that the living wage piece is convoluted, and it has been for all these years. And I know because I personally probably spent hundreds of hours working on it and advocating for it. I want to remind us of the history of this private-public partnership, both at the Rose Quarter and at PG Park, resulted in unions being busted and workers losing wages. So personally, I'm very gratified that Jobs of Justice and myself have been able to put this on the table to the good degree that it is. I have to say, Commissioner Leonard, I respectfully disagree with your idea of it being somehow paternalistic or patronizing for the city to support a living wage. My view simply is that this is our property, and to be able to do a private-public partnership with the people's property should entail some responsibility, and that would include a living wage. So my position is very much, it's the same as Jobs of Justice position. We do support continuing the living wage, and of course we support any measures that help to make free organizing possible. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Estetter. Appreciate it. That's all. Okay. So I'm going to offer an amendment on Section 11. Are there any other, let's just see if there are any other amendments that are going to be offered before we actually offer them.
I have an amendment on the living wage section.
Minimum living wage. Any other amendments to be proposed? Would it be all right if I get mine?
Absolutely.
Okay, Section 11 would read, there'll be an insertion between the words with and peregrine. So it'll say work with the Goose Hollow Foothills League and the Goose Hollow Business Association, comma, comma, going on with Peregrine Lincoln High School, da 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 da, for mixed use parking facility.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded.
Mayor, just one comment.
Yeah.
The language still says best efforts to develop, but I take Mr. Kovach's testimony as the way we should interpret this, which is it is aspirational and it is not directive.
So we could, if you want, add the words consider development of a parking facility.
I think that would be a friendly amendment in terms of the way he explained the aspirational nature.
So taken by myself. Is there a second?
Second. Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Council discussion of this. All right. Let's vote on this amendment. Carla, would you please call the roll?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Amendment is approved. Commissioner Fritz.
Section 10, I have a substitute.
For Section 10?
For Section 10, city-directed wages, instead would say, instead of city agrees to continue at the city's cost the current directed wage program, it would say Peregrine agrees to pay a fair wage as defined by City Code Chapter 3.99 to all employees, including any contracted employees, throughout the term of the operating agreement with no subsidy by the city. Peregrine agrees to provide a neutral setting for employees should they choose to attempt to organize.
For purposes of discussion, I will second the amendment.
Thank you.
It's been moved and seconded. Commissioner Fritz.
I think we learned from the previous PGE contract that its citizens don't support the city subsidizing private employers topping up their wages. We are responsible for our city employees' wages, and we expect in other contracts that fair wages be paid.
Additional discussion on this proposed amendment?
Well, to put it in its proper context, I was not here when this passed, but I followed it closely. The city agreed to pay this excess wage. It was not one paid by the private sector, so I think it's really unfair at this stage of the negotiations to basically change the nature of the agreement to reflect this amendment. I mean, at minimum, it has to be negotiated with the other party. We can't unilaterally make such a substantial change in the agreement on our own. I mean, the effect of this passing is we do not have an agreement.
This, if I recall correctly, and I'll look to former Mayor Barry Katz for a little bit of head nodding or shaking, is that the city-directed living wage, that this policy at the time that it was applied to PG Park was an expansion of policy regarding the living wage, applying it to PG Park in ways that it otherwise would not have applied. And because of that, we have agreed to pick up the wage, 100% of the wages at that time. This proposal is less than 100%, so it makes improvement on the concern about it entirely being on the backs of taxpayers. Okay. Other discussion?
The current proposal results in $5 million being paid by the Spectator Fund.
That's not an accurate figure, Commissioner Fritz.
It's OMF's figure.
That would be over 25 years?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I don't know that.
We'd be happy to give you that.
I'd love to see it, but I think this is not the proper place to make a substantive amendment like this. It needs to be, I mean, it's absolutely a fair thing to propose, but it has to be done in consideration of the entire agreement with the other party.
I would have been happy to have proposed it earlier, but we've had like three different amendments today, so I think it's entirely appropriate, since we're voting on this today, to consider who should pay fair wages.
So let's, any other discussion on the substance? The amendment is on the floor. Then, Carla, please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Well, I have supported the operator bearing the cost of the fair wage, but I do agree with Commissioner Leonard that at this point we have a deal, and I'm going to stick with the proposed deal in front of us, so I respectfully vote no.
Leonard?
And I do appreciate the tenor and, awkward position for me not to be supporting something like this, but in the context of actually negotiating a deal, this is a substantial change in the conditions of the deal. The bottom line is, I'm not sure why the employees would care who's paying them. they're being paid the living wage, and that to me is what matters at in the final analysis. So I will oppose the amendment. No.
Fritz.
The taxpayers of Portland care who pays, and it means less money available for upgrades to PG to Memorial Coliseum if we're topping up wages. So I vote aye.
Fish.
A couple of years ago, Unite Here was having a dispute with a major hotel downtown, and they contacted me about the dispute. This was before I was elected, and explained the nature of the controversy and their concerns. And as a result of that, even though I was the vice chair of the organization hosting the event, I did not attend the event so that I would not be, in a sense, picking a side in a dispute and honoring their request that I not attend that event. That was a very difficult decision, but it reflected the respect that I have for the rights of people to collectively bargain and to take their issues to an employer, and the care which I try to bring to not in any way seeming to tip the scales in that kind of a dispute. On this issue, the challenge for me is that there is no consensus that I'm aware of within the labor movement about how we should address this. In fact, I've had people from labor on both sides of this contact me, but actually I've had people from both sides who've also changed their position in the course of a few weeks. So I am completely befuddled as to what labor's, and by labor I mean the broader community and not just one organization, feels about this. And so because of the lack of a consensus on it, and because this proposal would in fact modify a substantive term of the agreement, and I agree with my colleagues, would in effect mean that we have no agreement to act on today. I appreciate the spirit in which it's offered, but I'm going to vote no. On the other hand, I want to make it very clear that the provision that of this amendment that deals with, you know, neutrality, compliance with the law, and other requirements in the event that employees choose to organize, I think this council is going to be very vigilant in making sure that they are policed going forward. No.
Adams.
But right now, the mayor's voting. As someone who as well signed the No Crossing of the Line for Here United as a candidate for office a couple of times, as someone who has sat down with business owners downtown to help unionize janitorial positions and other positions downtown and feel passionately about this, I view this as a great victory for the taxpayers of improvement of 50%. And, you know, it's progress, and it's good progress on behalf of the taxpayers, and it's keeping with our living wage agreements, which I feel passionately about. So I'm going to vote no, because I view this as good progress. Aye. Or vote no.
I have a further amendment.
Further amendment. Okay.
I move the second sentence. Peregrine agrees to provide a neutral setting for employees should they choose to attempt to organize.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Discussion on this sentence.
So I also want to recognize that Commissioner Adams worked very, very hard to get justice for janitors at Memorial Coliseum and to help with the organizers there. And I picketed with Unite Here outside the Hilton, and I greatly respect their ability to be constructive partners in any process that they engage in. So. And many of us also are either union members, past union members, and recognize the value of unionization. So I would hope to get consensus on this amendment.
So is the purpose of the amendment to just a restatement of state and federal rights already available to
yes.
employees? I mean, is that the purpose, the legislative intent?
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Well, I would move to amend the amendment to say that, to say that Peregrine agrees to comply with all applicable federal, state, laws that protect the rights of workers to organize.
Is that a friendly amendment?
No.
So it isn't just codifying and restating the state and federal
laws? I think it's
laws.
A more positive.
I've moved an amendment to the amendment.
Okay, there's
so
been
I have a second.
Is there amendment to the amendment? It's been made. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. An amendment to the amendment. Let's have a discussion on the amendment to the amendment.
These are, having worked in this field for a long time, and Commissioner Fish certainly will correct me if I'm wrong, these words are all terms of art. And let me correct one thing that was said before that is really unfair. To characterize as this attempt to protect the taxpayer of Portland is disingenuous. These funds come out of the Spectator Fund, which are paid into by people from all over the region, including the state of Washington, Washington County, Clackamas County, and others. So the important principle that I stand by, that I would fight for, and of which there are numerous protections for workers' rights on, is the rights of workers to organize as the law has been fought for and bargained for and lobbied for decades. And to add other kinds of terms to what the law requires is a black hole. And so I would urge the council to accept my amendment, which would clarify that this council insists that Peregrine comply with all applicable federal, state, and local laws in terms of organizing.
Mayor, may I be recognized?
If I could, Commissioner Fish, and ask our labor, our employment expert, our contract expert, do you have an opinion on sort of this issue regarding whether the amendment or the amended amendment captures or goes beyond the rights that everyone has to organize?
Mayor, Council, I'm afraid I'm not a sufficient enough expert on labor law to know exactly what federal law provides in regards to providing a neutral setting for employees to organize. So I don't want to mislead you here by saying that's already part of federal law. That would be my guess, but without any research on the subject, I would just be providing a guess. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's all right. Commissioner Fish?
I used to practice in this area. I'm not entirely clear what neutral setting means, but I will tell you what the consequence of putting a contractual provision in that obliges the owner to in fact, comply with state and federal law in any labor context, and that is that it establishes an additional remedy if there's a violation of law. Currently, the remedy for an employee who tries to organize and is prevented because of a violation of law would then go through an administrative process, bring an action, or what have you. If this amendment to Commissioner Fritz's amendment is adopted, the additional remedy is this council could declare a breach of the agreement.
And therefore, do you have a thought on the amendment to the amendment or the end?
Well, I'm just going to support the amendment to the amendment because I believe it is broader in scope. It tracks the otherwise existing state and federal law requirements and gives us a remedy if we determine that there has been a violation of law by our partner.
Great. That's good insight. Well, is there additional discussion on the amendment to the amendment?
Yes.
Commissioner Saltzman.
I'm going to support the original amendment offered by Commissioner Fritz. I think that it's much simpler. I always opt for what's simple and clear, as in my amendment previously about meeting the green building standards. Peregrine agrees to provide a neutral setting for employees should they choose to attempt to organize. That sounds pretty straightforward and clear to me. When you start adding state, federal laws, to me that creates, you know, things I don't understand.
Wait a minute.
I understand.
Commissioner Fritz?
Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, and I don't know. I appreciate Commissioner Fish's comment as to why we would state the expectation that people would follow the law. Still, I think it's unlikely that employees would come to us to ask that to be remedied. I'd like to have it pretty clearly stated. I mean, we could.
You don't know Joe Rastetter.
We could. I do know Joe Rastetter very, very much. I know Joe.
He's gone professional.
I mean, an alternative would be to use the language out of the Unite Here Labor Peace Agreement, which I assume has gone through. It looks like it's taken from another agreement, which is the employer will take an approach of strict neutrality with regard to the unionization of the employees. The employer will not do any action or make any statement that will directly or indirectly state or imply any opposition by the employer to the selection of such employees of a collective bargaining unit or preference for or opposition to a particular unit as a bargaining unit. We could state it more.
All right. Everyone up here agrees that the future workers of this facility should have the right to pursue their legal rights to unionize, and I think that the discussion has been good and full. I'd like to vote on the amendment to the amendment, unless you've got a last comment.
Well, just in reaction, I was waiting patiently.
Oh, I didn't see you
over
there.
Turn.
Go ahead, Commissioner. Don't mean to irritate you.
Commissioner, you don't irritate me. You humor me. You create a great working atmosphere for me. You're a great friend. You inspire me, but you do not irritate me.
Boy. Which commissioner were you directing that comment to?
I think it was you. It wasn't me, but thank you. Go ahead.
Because I think Commissioner Saltzman's observation is what one would ordinarily think, a man on the street looking at that language. But let me tell you, just having worked in the organizing world, the impact of what this means, and I'll give you the real example. The current living wage at PGE Park is $11.26 an hour. The current wages for those employees, and many of them are the same people who work up at the Rose Garden, is $9.75 an hour. Merritt Paulson may say, if the employees want to organize, well, I'd like you to have a meeting, and I'd like you to all understand the implication of unionizing. The implication of unionizing is if we get put into in a room where we're bargaining a contract is, I will take the position that I will pay you the market wage. And the market wage is now $9.75 an hour. I need you to understand that before you agree to organize, because the $11.26 an hour is not required by law to be paid to you. I will pay you whatever the collective bargaining agreement ends up being in the end of the analysis. The upshot may be quite well that the employees would end up with an agreement that actually paid less than which is 16% higher than what the workers at the Rose Garden are currently getting. The language you're proposing would prohibit him from saying that to them.
I would hope so, because that sounds like a threat to me. I'm very surprised that
may never want to bargain a contract, because that's
I can't imagine a union worth its salt going into the workers it's hoping to organize and saying, "Well, we may end up with a $2 an hour less wage."
Mayor, so, I move the question on the amendment. Yeah.
Commissioner Fish is always 2 seconds before I'm in that, and I agree. I think in essence we actually agree on this issue a lot more than we disagree, but I think it's been a long day, and I think that we're at the end of a long but fruitful process, so I'd ask that the City Council keep that in mind as they vote on the amendment on the amendment. Can you please restate again the amendment to the amendment, Commissioner Leonard?
The amendment is that that Peregrine be required to comply with all applicable federal, state, and local laws with respect to organizing.
Carla, would you please call the roll?
Saltzman?
No.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
No.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Amendment to the amendment is approved. We're now voting on the underlying amendment, unless there's additional discussion. Carla, would you please call the roll on the amended amendment?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
I don't know what I'm voting on.
You're voting on your original language amended by Commissioner Leonard's phrase, which he just restated.
Which is completely different.
That's a matter. You're going to have to judge that as you vote. Yes means you approve of including this?
Yes. Thank you.
Fish.
I'm going to support it because the net effect of Commissioner Fritz's original amendment is to provide an expansion of rights for employees at PGE Park, and whether the amended amendment or the amendment to the amendment is her preferred approach, this actually creates an additional level of protection for employees. Aye.
Thank you for explaining.
Adams.
I want to thank Commissioner Fritz for bringing this amendment forward, to Commissioner Leonard for clarifying it, and the ensuing discussion, which is democracy meets Robert Rules of Order. Aye. The amendment is approved. We're now looking at the amended substitute. And are we ready to vote on that and the other two items? So we're looking at 1031, 1032, 1033, unless I hear additional council discussion. Carla, would you start by calling the roll call on 1031?
Saltzman?
Well, it's been a long, interesting road, to say the least, since we started in earlier this year with the culmination is today, but we did have a pretty good test vote in March, and the decision was to proceed in negotiations. Those negotiations have been capably conducted on the city's behalf by Commissioner Leonard, with Mayor Adams also at the table. And I'm pleased to see that we, per our amendment we adopted in March, there is no urban renewal money involved. Therefore, there is no necessarily new urban renewal district envisioned that would be driven by the need to finance a stadium. I don't think that's the right way to approach urban renewal questions or the creation of a new district. So I'm pleased to see that we reached an agreement that doesn't involve urban renewal, only uses spectator funds on the city's behalf, and will produce what I think is the home for a much invigorated Major League Soccer team, the Portland Timbers. And I think that's going to be a good move for our city, not only because it provides a source of inspiration and spirit for every citizen. I think major sports franchises, just they do that. They bring citizens together. I also think it plays well to our economic development strategies, which focus on the apparel industry and the footwear industry. Having major league teams, again, supports those clusters, which are part of our future, as is sustainability, and that's why I support a strong green building standard for the renovation of the stadium. So I think we've come a long way. I think we've gotten to a good spot, and I'm excited about this deal. I wanted to, as I said, I appreciate Commissioner Leonard and Mayor Adams' leadership on this. I also want to thank my chief of staff, Brendan Finn, who is probably, oh, there he's right there. I thought he might be on his way to the Timbers game.
Nobody's been at the Bear Garden.
Okay, so I want to thank Brendan Finn, who has been my representative in these negotiations. And I also want to thank all the work of city staff, Ken Russ, Ty Kovach, Eric Johansson, many, many others. And last but not least, certainly Merritt Paulson and his team of negotiators, including Mayor Katz. I think they've done a great job, and I think they truly bring a spirit of wanting to do what's best for the city of Portland. Greg Peden too, Steve Siegel. I think they've brought the spirit of we want to do something that uniquely fits with the Portland spirit. Soccer is part of that match, but working in good faith, and I think as Mr. Todd commented, no tremendous public subsidy, as you see in most any other city around any other sports facility. This is probably hardly any public subsidy compared to what you read about in the papers going on elsewhere. So that's truly, it's a good deal for our citizens, it's a good deal for this city, and it's a good deal, I think, for this region. And I'm very pleased to support this deal. Aye.
Leonard.
Well, if we hadn't had the hearing that we had today, including Gil Fry and the Fryettes, it just wouldn't have made sense with what has happened over this last who knows how long this has been. It was a fascinating hearing. I very much appreciate the debate, and I'm not going to say a whole lot about the deal, but I am required at this point, given the intensity of what has occurred in this building over the last, I don't know how long it's been that we've been working on this, to thank Sam for his diligent leadership. I've said this many times, when Vera was mayor and Tom was mayor, the mayor sets the tone. Nobody fights harder to be equal with the mayor up here than I do, but I always have understood that the mayor is the first amongst equals, and without the mayor's support, we don't have these kinds of discussions. Vera had an absolutely fabulous discussion I was honored to be brought into by her on Major League Baseball. I loved that atmosphere. Tom Potter did not like the idea, so we had a lull for 4 years in terms of sports. Sam becomes mayor, and here we are. And it doesn't matter that I think this is a good idea, or Dan or Nick or Amanda. It requires the mayor to set the tone. So Sam, I want to acknowledge that, because this would not happen without you. And Nick has added really a whole lot of good ideas to make this a much better deal, as has Amanda throughout this whole discussion. This is a better deal because of both Nick and Amanda's concerns that they've raised. It has caused Sam and I to sit down and do everything we humanly can possibly do to address their concerns. And certainly, without Dan right along being the consistent third vote, although at times, you know, an aloof third vote, but still, he was who we counted on to be able to have this discussion today. So thank you, Dan.